Welcome to the Apologia podcast, the audio-only archive of the Apologia YouTube channel. Note that some content was designed to go with visuals, but the imagination can be a powerful thing. If you enjoy the podcast, please consider giving it a 5-star rating on the podcast app you're using now to help us reach more people. Or, since this endeavor is ad-free, consider going a step further and supporting us for as little as $1 a month at patreon.com/apologia. But for now, let's get to the episode. Part of the Evolution Exposed Exposed series, posted August 14, 2023, titled Christian Biologist Calls Young Earth a Fairy Tale, featuring Dr. Joel Duff.
We are putting on a conference called Evolution Exposed.
We pulled in experts on the subject of evolution
for a total of 11 speakers
and gave them just 15 minutes to give us their best.
And on top of all that, a 1-hour Q&A panel session.
You're going to love Evolution Exposed.
Anyone can refute evolution.
You to the zoo, to me and you.
Call that a fairy tale.
Not allowed to ask questions.
It made evolution look ridiculous.
That was the foolishness of atheism.
I knew I was going to get corrected.
No, I wasn't even listening to your answer.
This guy might be coming for you.
Welcome to Apologia and another installment of Evolution Exposed Exposed, our claim-by-claim investigation of the Creation All-Star Mega Seminar. If you'd like to catch the series from the beginning, tap on the playlist above my head. Next in Ray Comfort's cavalcade of stars was the chief sign writer at the Ark Encounter and Creation Museum attractions, Tim Chafee.
But what a privilege to be a part of this.
Here ostensibly to set up Answers in Genesis as the arbiter of worldview correctness. Joining us to weigh in on this is biology professor, science communicator, follower of Christ, contributor to BioLogos, and frequent commenter on the antics of Ken Ham, Dr. Joel Duff.
Are you ready for some Duff love? All right.
You know, this topic is so important, as you were sharing in that little preview before you started back up, the evolution versus God. What a powerful video.
Wow, what a way to get us going. Yeah, let's just start out by placing God in opposition to evolution, that slippery term that folks toss around often. It's like the kitchen sink where we can throw pretty much anything we believe is from the evil one. Let's throw in biological evolution, stellar evolution, and dare I say, even social evolution. Basically, anything that Chafee and others don't like can go into this catch-all term, unless, of course, it fits their worldview, something we'll be talking about a lot. After all, some change is good, right? For example, Chafee believes that species adapt and change even into new species due to the aftermath of the global flood. He claims that this truth is from his worldview, and he proclaims this is not evolution, but rather a change that God wants, that he planned, that he providentially provided for in the natural mechanisms.
For people to understand how different these worldviews are, and we often think about this in terms of, you know, the whole creation, evolution being different views of our past.
Oops, there we go. Did you notice that Chafee drops another poorly defined but ubiquitous word that identifies tribal affinities among some Christians? The word worldview. With the proper worldview glasses, we're told, the same facts we all share can be interpreted properly. A few years back, the financially successful creationist documentary, Is Genesis History, probably best summed up this stark choice in the tagline, two competing views, one compelling truth. Yes, to be sure, I believe that there is such thing as truth with a capital T, and that we can learn that truth from God's revelation to us. But those capital T truths about how the physical world operates and the exact processes of its origins that have been revealed to us are rather limited in scope. There is a necessary amount of extrapolation and application of biblical truths into the complexities of social interactions and scientific exploration. However, Chafee's worldview concept portends to explain nearly all aspects of the physical creation. But was this the intent of the biblical author? If not, could serious cracks in his foundation skew the supposed clear dichotomy he's trying to present? I believe so, but let's let him present what he means before we examine this further.
You know, everybody's familiar with that we see things very differently when we're looking at whether it's just 6,000 years ago or millions of years ago. But how often do we think about the different views evolution and creation present of our present and our future? So that's what I really want to focus on.
So just a side note here, that Chafee's reference to 6,000 years reflects the increasingly dogmatic adherence to a strict young earth, where many young earth creationists in the early years would refer to creation being maybe 6 to 10,000, and some would even accommodate maybe 20,000 years. Yeah, I know that sounds like splitting hairs, but it reflects the increasingly strident literalist approach to reading scripture, resulting in some young earth creationists today viewing the 10,000ers as dangerous compromisers to the truth.
You know, at the Creation Museum, we recently opened a brand new exhibit called Starting Points, where we really focus on this issue of two worldviews. And if you're familiar with, I know everybody here is today familiar with Ken Ham.
What? Who's this Ken guy?
He's done a great job with that for several decades now, just helping people understand that this is a battle between two worldviews.
Well, there we go again with the two worldviews. But you'd be forgiven if you thought this was just a battleground between a theist worldview and an atheist worldview. I suppose it is in many respects, but no, I believe that what's being spoken here is a battle between a very small and select set of theists who claim the moniker of true theist, and then everyone else, including all other theists and atheists combined. Don't forget that for Ken Ham, Tim Chafee, and the like, it's a battle among Christians in which the young earth creationist worldview, one developed by men, aka sinners, doing their best to faithfully read and interpret scriptures, are going up against other Christians using different interpretive constructs for understanding God's word. But they're also fallible, yet earnestly are seeking to understand the truths communicated to us by the Creator. Put another way, it's Ken Ham against the rest of the world, including what is really the vast majority of other biblically minded Christians.
This isn't science versus faith. It's not fact versus religion, or, you know, science versus belief. This is a worldview about the past versus a worldview about the past and also the present and the future. One of them begins with man's words, ever-changing ideas, and the man who doesn't know everything. And oftentimes has a very strong prejudice against what God's word says.
Phew, so much to unpack. But let's keep it simple for now. Yeah, man's ideas can change. We evolve, to use the word in yet another context. On the other hand, as a Christian, I believe God's word and wisdom and other attributes to be unchangeable. The suggestion is that we can't trust ourselves, and we should just simply believe what God has told us to be true. Okay. But being creatures and finite necessitates an act of reading and understanding that involves our fallible senses and reasoning. The very act of reading scriptures itself includes an interpretive, like, filter that we are not perfect at applying. The young earth creationist isn't immune to reading into scriptures truths rather than reading them out of the scripture. What they do here is assert that they know the truth. That's the truth with the capital T again. And then they interpret all other data within that particular context. But what if that starting truth or presupposition or proposition is not true? Many other Christians, including myself, have reasons rooted in what we believe are more consistent hermeneutical approaches to understanding and interpreting text that cause us to believe that the young earth creationists are not starting with the correct presuppositions. Creationists are just as apt as any other Bible believer to import human tradition, or you could say traditional interpretations, when they interpret scriptures. They're apt to give greater weight to these historical interpretations over, say, continued learning that has been provided to us providentially, better tools for interpreting these difficult passages of scripture. Some humility must come to bear when interpreting Genesis, when great thinkers of past generations have found it incredibly difficult to fully elucidate what can and can't be known with certainty about what the authors of Genesis were communicating to us, and more importantly, to their original audience. But for most young earth creationists, a young earth interpretation of Genesis is not a hypothesis to be tested, but a truism that must be believed, or for which maybe corroborating evidence would be helpful, but it isn't necessary.
And then the other side says, no, we're going to start with the word of the one who knows all things, who's always been there, and who cannot lie, and he's told us what he did. And so we start with God's word, just to show how different these two views are, because there's some Christians who will try to combine them, you know, like biologists saying, oh yeah, you can have theistic evolution, God just used evolution.
As a theist, I do ultimately believe there is one reality. There is one truth. I also believe that God has revealed essential truths, capital T truths that we can know. A God who is a creator and sustainer of the universe has revealed that he does know all, and as one who was there in the beginning, I would submit, does not and would not lie. However, it does not follow that the same God has or needs to reveal all of history to us. he has told us some of what he did with respect to origins, but certainly not all. If anything, what is revealed is a very crude outline. And whether what he has revealed involves any concern for the unfolding of the physical creation is of considerable debate among theologians. For the creature, us, who do not know all and cannot lay claim to eternal and ultimate knowledge of truth, it would seem rather presumptuous to claim truths which are not revealed. To do so would in a way be elevating oneself to the status of a god. Fortunately, human beings are blessed, endowed, evolved, you pick your preferred term, with the capacity to investigate and test the creation and to discover provisional truth, or what I sometimes like to call lowercase t.
Well, if the Bible's true, we were created by God just thousands of years ago, but of course, time and chance, the naturalistic evolutionary view, billions of years ago. If the Bible is true, which it is, man is unique. We're created in God's image, but from an evolutionary point of view, man is just another animal.
Now, by stating the premise, if the Bible's true, Chafee inadvertently, or possibly intentionally, is setting up a litmus test for the reality of a creator God. I might call it the dew on the sheepskins test for those of you who might have read the book of Judges, chapter 6, 37 through 39. That test is the age of the earth. If young, well, then the Bible is true. If it isn't young, the Bible is proven false and there cannot be any God. It's an atheist dream scenario, really. It's the black and white choice our simple minds yearn for. But what if the age of the earth and the mechanisms for the development of biological diversity aren't really revealed in the Bible? The Bible can be true, but we can misinterpret them. We can introduce false expectations and, in quotes, truths of our own making in scriptures. If we place the youth of the world on the same plane as the truth of God as creator and redeemer, we place ourselves in the position of laying claims to God's attributes of omniscience and so forth.
If you think about it from a biblical perspective, life came from life, intelligence from intelligence, information from information. These are things that we observe on a regular basis, but what we don't ever observe is what evolution teaches, and that is that life came from non-life, intelligence from non-intelligence, information from non-information.
Well, hold on there a minute. Is that really the biblical perspective? Was that the perspective of those who wrote the Bible? Even a wooden literal reading of scriptures would lead anyone to conclude that life is explicitly described as being brought forth from non-life. Let's review Genesis 1, 11, and 12. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth." And it was so. And then what does the author of Genesis report happened in verse 12? And the earth brought forth grass. Let me repeat that. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb yielding seed after its kind, the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after its kind, and God saw that it was good. What do we see here? We see that God looked at what he had made and claims that it was good. And what is he looking at which had performed these acts? He looks at what the earth has done. Ken Ham, Tim Chafee, you want a literal interpretation, you say? Well, the earth made these things. Yes, at God's command, but not by direct fiat out of nothing creation. They're made from something, and that something continues to produce after its own kind via what? Via the seeds that it makes that provides the mechanism for the perpetuation of similar things or kinds. That organisms are commanded to reproduce after their own kinds is nothing but a statement that life follows an orderly pattern, a consistent pattern resulting from God's upholding creation in a consistent rather than a capricious way, as many in the ancient Near East world believed, and from which the biblical author is setting up a contrast for his audience. This is really all we know about the process of abiotic and biotic evolution from scriptures. The ground made plants, the ground makes animals, and the ground makes human beings. And they continue to persist by making more things like themselves. They do this because God the Creator has said that the world has obeyed. But anyone, especially Ken Ham or Tim Chafee, who thinks they know exactly what the mechanisms were that accomplished God's command to the earth, necessarily must go well beyond what the scriptures and its authors have chosen to reveal to us as necessary truths. For myself, I would say that man has been endowed, as you might say, evolved, the capacity to explore the world around us, to answer questions about its origins. We have the privilege, and I would even say the command, to explore the creation and reveal its history as a testimony to God's creative works. We, as his creature, explain and glorify him through our exploration of creation.
And yet they call that science. It's never been observed, and I think we could call that a fairy tale.
Notice the emphasis on observation, as if that which is not seen by our eyes can't be studied, understood, and known with a great level of certainty. Kent Ham and Tim Chafee are firm believers, I'm sure, in thousands of so-called scientific fairy tales. Was Tim Chafee there to observe that only two canines were preserved on Noah's Ark? Did Noah pass down notes to Ken Ham that red foxes, African wild dogs, and coyotes didn't exist 4,500 years ago, and that he brought their common ancestor on board? Does Chafee have eyewitness testimony of those two canines having offspring that were red foxes and gray wolves, sprouting from one common set of parents? Oh, he wasn't there? Does he even have any transition fossils between the 100 or so canine species that have been described? Can he show the steps that were taken between those that common ancestor and those 100 derived species from those common ancestors? Well, the answer is no, no, and no. But he and other young Earth creationists confidently preach all the time, basically placing their statements on par with the truths revealed in Scripture, right? They preach that these canines are derived from a common ancestral pair on the Ark. Tim Chafee has many fairy tales to tell his audience. Many of those fairy tales are born of what I think are bad science, but many are also born from the misuse and misapplication of Scriptures.
One thing you may not know about Dr. Duff is that he has a criminally undersubscribed YouTube channel called Joel Duff.
Duff, please.
Where he regularly posts content into playlists like Critique in Creationism, This Week in Creationism, and my favorite, Ham Bites.
With him!
Please go check out his excellent, educated, well-informed refutation of young Earth anti-science rhetoric and leave a comment to let him know that Apologia sent you. Next time on Evolution Exposed Exposed, Tim is going to spend his remaining minutes attempting nothing short of providing answers to life's biggest questions.
Because we wanted people to see how different these two worldviews are when we're talking about the present and also the future.
See you over there. Later.